Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of view. Every day we hear politicians, pastors, coworkers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based on the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast.
What's up,
hey
listeners? So today's topic is vocation versus job. Yeah, this is the topic.
And we have a guest with us. We brought back Dakota for another round.
Mm-hmm.
Giving me a chance to actually be heard.
That's right. We had some complaints. They couldn't hear him last time because my mic
turned it.
I really got to make sure these mics are turned up. But turn them up. This is a very low budget podcast. Pretty much, I have to do all the production and also have to talk once in a while. So
there we go.
We apologize for that. So we gave Dakota another chance. No, not that you couldn't hear him before, but we brought him back.
We brought him
for
back
for another topic.
Encore.
That's right.
Encore. All right, so we're going to kind of get into this, vocation versus job. You might be thinking to yourselves, what are they talking about? And we're going to explain ourselves, but we're going to be talking about jobs, right? What we do most of the time in our lives, or at least a significant portion of it. We work. That's what we do.
We work a lot.
We work, and we hold jobs. And so this is obviously something that applies to pretty much everybody, you know. And so we asked the question, what is Christianity kind of saying about these things today? What are some things we've heard? And so we've heard from Christians that you got to pay the bills, right? Mm-hmm. That's why you got to work. You got to pay the bills.
That's why I have my job.
Yeah, that's why you have a job.
I mean, I went to school all my life, and what they told you was, then go to college, and then get a job.
That's right.
That's like what the goal was.
Yep.
And so now I am a successful citizen who makes money and has a family and has a job.
Well done, citizen.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
It might be something we're interested in, right? Choose your job.
I hope so.
You know, yeah, that is what people hope to do. Obviously, not everybody gets to do that. But if you're one of the few, you do something that you actually like.
Yeah. Right? You don't start at a job that you're interested in. You take whatever you can get.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're younger.
I mean, a lot of us have, and our friends have worked at the Green Bean Factory.
That's right. The good old Green Bean Factory.
That's right. My favorite part is
always to say, Michigan.
I work at the bean factory, and they're like, a coffee bean factory? It's like, no, green beans. They're like, oh. Like, a coffee bean factory would be cool, but a green bean factory is not cool.
No, that's not cool.
No.
Millennials.
So them and their coffee. Yep. Who drinks coffee?
So anyways, those are kind of two of the main ones, pay bills or do something you're interested in, or I need something to do, so I'm going to go work.
That's a terrible idea.
It's a sick, sick person.
Yeah, it is.
Thought of that. Or work to retire one day, right? To get to the retirement, right, you got to get the good job, right?
That's right?
So the good job is really just a stepping stone to the really fun part of what you really want, which is the retirement part. And so to get the money to get there, you need a good job, whatever that means by good, but a good job.
Sure.
Got mouths to feed and a family to take care of, you know, and also try to make your job work as well as it can for Jesus. So, you know, on some small level, some Christian may decide to mention Jesus, hopefully, to a coworker, but most of the time, spent doing the job you're paid to do. And
I've also heard people talk about jobs in the sense of Well, if you get a job that makes a lot of money, then you can give it to the preachers and to the holy workers in a way, right? Those teachers and preachers and pastors and missionaries.
Yeah. The official clergy. Thank you, layperson. You have done well. Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. Because you can give a bunch of money, I guess.
If you make enough money.
I mean, if that's your intentions with your money and not buying a yacht, you know.
Well, if you can buy a yacht, then you can give a bunch of money anyway.
Well, you feel less guilty. Right, yeah. 10% of a million is still $100,000, right? Yeah.
Don't bring up that 10%.
Oh, sorry. That's right.
We want to never hear about that tithe word again. So yeah, those are the kind of common thoughts out there of, I guess, what Christians today kind of think, you know. I would say maybe the best on these lists, on this list is, try to make your job work as it can for Jesus, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what is taught is like, we all got to do these jobs, right? But when you can, right? When when the clouds open up and a ray of light falls upon you and this divine meeting happens, try to do it.
Try your best.
Yep.
Don't clam up and turn around and walk
away. That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And then when you get fired, just remember, it was all for Jesus, all
right? That's right.
Working for the Lord. Now I'm not working at all, but did it for Jesus.
But I would say most people in reality have a job to pay bills, to feed their family, and to hope to retire one day, right? That's why I remember from high school on, this is ingrained into you. You need to do good in high school so you can go to a good college, so you can get a good job, and so that you can have enough money to do all the fun things you want to do when you're done with the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really spend all of your life to get to the last 20 years, or 10 years.
Do you think that's still the case with millennials these days? You think they're capitalizing more on their young age and just living broke and traveling? I guess maybe. I've seen a lot of it.
Maybe. Yeah, that could be true. Could be a rejection of that teaching.
Mm-hmm. I was in a class today
for
my job, and we were talking about millennials, and millennials, they said they need to enjoy life during their jobs. That's the biggest difference.
Hmm.
Meaning they're the kind that would be very social. They want to be around other people. Mm-hmm. They'll go for walks or go exercise at lunch breaks.
Mm-hmm.
They always have to have an earbud in and be listening to something.
Yeah.
Like they like to enjoy life. And the whole argument was embrace that. It wasn't like, let's criticize millennials for all they do. Like, let's embrace it because this is how they are, and that's actually how they excel. So it's a different way to look at work and how millennials function at work than the way we used to.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm a millennial, so.
Is that a reaction to seeing people miserable for 40 years of their life?
Possibly, yeah.
I imagine so. I mean, yeah, a lot of the feeling in our culture today is like a rejection of the old, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much a common theme to every sector of society.
Well, I used to work at a Hilo job, and there was people who've been there for 30 years.
Yeah.
And they were happy doing that, but I kept telling myself, I do not want to end up here for 30 years doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Moving pallets, you know, from racks to bays to every day doing the same thing. Yeah. But for them, they were content doing that because they were getting a retirement. One day they were gonna be able to leave happy and live out that life and probably die when they're 65. But hey, you know what?
They had a boat.
Yeah, they bought a boat. Now their kids have it. I think back to my childhood. My parents were definitely on the camp of you had to pay the bills. And I remember really now looking back and kind of feeling bad for them because they would work a couple jobs sometimes to get by. We would even see them. Like, it would either be see mom in the morning, see dad in the afternoon, but they were just doing it to take care of us. So they were doing whatever they could, but they had to work multiple jobs to take care of us. And at times we were in poverty because they couldn't do that. They couldn't have both jobs.
And so that's still a thing worldwide, by the way. My wife was gone for the past week, and I watched a lot of documentaries, and most of them were about people doing ridiculously dangerous or hard jobs just to pay the bills, just to put their kids through school.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a lot of countries, it's still kind of a fight for food, a fight for life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something we need to remember to broaden us from America itself to the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why we work. I mean, mine was definitely something I was interested in. That's why I went to school for film school.
Mm-hmm.
And now I look back and it's like, what a terrible idea. Like, why would I go to school for film? Like, you're not going to make any money in the film industry. Mm-hmm. People who do make it went to USC, you know, in California.
Yeah.
And most people now are self-made. They get on YouTube and they come up with something. And people are entertained by it, and that's how they're making their living.
That's how they do.
Now, YouTube didn't exist when I went to film school in 2000. It might have just started. It was like 2004, 2005.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's when I wasted my college experience at. But then I guess it kind of paid off. It got me into the media field, and then that's why now I have a job in tech. It's similar. So it paid off to get me a job to take care of my family that I enjoy.
Yeah. And I would say, like, the idea of like retirement, I think is going to be an idea that's rare for most people to actually have. It's definitely not as prevalent as it used to be, right? The whole idea that you're just going to go to GM, punch in your time, and then retire, right? Those days are long gone, and I don't see them coming back. You know, either you do it yourself, right? You figure out a way to save, you know, for your own self. But I've also seen like the benefits increases over time, and there ain't no way you're catching up to that, you know. So I think the whole retirement pipe dream is not going to be realistic in the future, but you know, who knows?
It's a pipe dream. I guess that's what you mean when you say it, right?
It's a pipe dream.
Well, maybe that's good that we then enjoy our jobs. I mean, if you're going to work.
Yeah. And so the idea is you're going to work.
Enjoy.
Yeah. You're going to work.
Yeah.
So what do we
and
do?
And I mean,
that?
Yeah. How many times do you see older people working? They might be standing and greeting at Walmart, but it's a job. It's a retirement job to make a little bit of money, supplemental money on top of their Social Security. That's another one that's probably going to be gone. Yeah. So we're going to have to work even later because they said Social Security is probably going to be gone by the time we get there.
Yeah. The old world was a lot less expensive, I think. But so here's some facts kind of running through. Gettysburg.edu, they were just talking about how much time we spend working. And they said it's 90,000 hours over the average lifetime, 90,000 hours. And they said what you do for your job can make a huge impact on your quality of life. And a third of the average life is spent at work.
That's depressing.
A third of your life spent at work. Of course, this is the average, so differs from person to person realistically. But and then from Fool.com, and it said an estimated 40% of U.S. employees regularly work more than 50 hours a week, and 20% work more than 60 hours a week. And so that's plenty of folks hitting 3,000-hour mark a year for working. And they said that this could spell trouble. Not just for your physical health, but also for productivity. And they were later making the point, just because you work more doesn't mean you're actually more productive. And this is actually true.
Yeah.
But, anyways, most people, a lot of people, anyways, work in crazy amounts of hours, especially the U.S. in relation to other countries that are, you know, what they call developed nations and stuff like that. We're really bad on the list of, like, how much we work. We work quite a bit.
That's why we only have to go to church on Sundays, guys.
That's right.
Because then you can work 80 that's hours right. and still be able to attend your Sunday services.
Yeah.
You know? Truly, really following Jesus, you know?
So anyways, if we're going to spend this much time working, it's kind of sad if it's just like, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it, you know? but hopefully we can fit Jesus in afterwards.
Yeah, so here's the difficulty, right? The conundrum is you're a Christian who's got a job, and you're working, and you see people doing missions work, mm-hmm. or teaching, or mm-hmm. being pastors or preachers.
Yeah.
And you want to be effective in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take a break from your job halfway through the day, and you wonder, what am I doing with my life?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. I have a, like, yeah, you wonder what mm-hmm. you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
How are you making, providing value? And
mm-hmm. yeah,
it's never really talked about
yeah.
in the church.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you think, well, the only way I could like progress as a more dedicated Christian is to become a pastor or a missionary. Yeah. Because that's the only yeah. avenue you yeah. see, right? Yeah. You know of no other avenue,
yep.
right? Because that people who are really wanting to surrender, they go to seminary.
Yep.
You know, that. So that's what you think. And so...
Because that's the one way to Jesus?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. But
I guess.
But so then that's the... Yeah, so that's what you're thinking is like, if I really wanted to really dedicate, I'll go be one of those two things.
And then we work all day and we get home and yeah, we want to follow Jesus and do mm-hmm. our devotions and go out and help people. But we're just too tired. Like we're wore out. Yeah. We've worked... Mm-hmm. 8 to 10 hours. You hear it all the time in men's groups.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking to men about, hey, how's your devotions going? Everybody's like, not good. Mm-hmm. Worked all week. I'm tired. And just didn't get to it. You know, when it's 9, you get home at 9 o'clock, you just kind of want to sit on the couch. You don't want to get, mm-hmm. you don't want to study. You don't want to do anything.
Yeah, a 40-hour a week job is like a good job.
Yeah.
I know plenty of people who work more than 40 oh,
yeah.
hours.
Oh, yeah. Like, we got a lot of people we know who do.
Yeah. And so when you get a 40-hour a week job, it's like, whoa, that's a good job.
And depending on where you live, you might travel an hour yeah, there, hour back.
Exactly. Yep. 100%. And it pretty much eats up, like they were saying, a third of your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, for sure.
So this is titled Job Versus Vocation. We've been talking a lot about jobs.
Yes.
How is this versus vocation? Let's.
I'm glad you know.
That's
asked.
A good question.
I'm glad
that's
you a, asked.
That's the best question that's been asked. Yes. Normally, we don't ask enough questions.
That's right.
I don't even know what vocation is. Nathan, hey, you're here. You know a little bit about this. What is vocation?
Okay, so thanks for the toss-up, guys. Yeah. okay, so. Yeah, vocation versus job. You may be thinking, what was the point of that title? You guys obviously hate jobs.
No, I like my job.
I like my job, too, let's be honest. I have to say that, though.
In case anybody's listening.
Right, if anybody in the schools are listening, I love my job.
Okay, so history of the term vocation, okay? So vocation comes from a Latin word, vocatio. I guess that's how you would say it, means a call or summons, okay, to summon someone. And this, the use of it in Latin and Roman times was just mainly as like a real common usage of an invitation to somebody, like, hey, come over, or you got summoned to go see the court. Okay, so those would be the two common ways. It was a real regular word, nothing special to it. It just means to call. For instance, the word vocal, right, comes from this word. So it means to call. It has to do with sound, right? You're calling someone. So anyways, this word, however, by the Latin Vulgate, okay, so that's the Latin Bible, was used heavily within the Christian church for a long, long time. And eventually this was seen as like the call by God to become a monk or something like that, okay? So they would call this the vocation, okay? And so this began to become a term that you were called by God if you had this vocation. And these were like holy things. Okay, so whether becoming a priest, a monk, these were vocations. So it was only for a special group of things. But then later on, during the Reformation, Martin Luther and John Calvin and others, they take this idea and they say, no, vocation, you aren't just called by God to priesthood and being a monk only. You are also called by God into all aspects of your life, okay? Not just, you know, the priests and the monks, they're not the only ones who get a calling. They were saying, no, the farmer does, right? No, this peasant over here, he does. These different workers who do these different jobs, you guys have callings also, right? You guys also have vocations. And so they then brought this into what are called secular occupations, but I really don't like that term because it's saying, like, I don't know, something that these are outside the sphere of something to do with Christianity, and I think that's a little weird. But anyways, the Reformation's taking the idea of vocation and being like, nope, this is for all believers, not just the priests, not just the monks. This is for everybody.
So everybody has a calling.
Yeah. Everybody has a calling. Now, over time, however, the word vocation got muddied down and got ruined. And so today you have what's called vocational school, which just means skill trades, where you know, where you go to be apprenticed. And so today, vocation, when we say it, has no religious significance in common usage today. You know, it's just another word for career or job. But it used to, in the original sense of Christianity, used to have a big meaning behind it for a long, long time. You know,
what I don't understand though is, if everybody was called, does that mean you were called to God through your work? Didn't matter what you did.
Yeah. So the idea,
called to a greater work, like a greater job.
Like, we've heard the idea, you need to work as if working for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that idea, boom, bombshell. Right, Reformation hits. They're like, listen, when you're doing that job, you're not just doing it for that noble or that Lord. You're doing this for God. Okay, so when you're going out to farm, you're farming for the Lord. So this was sort of the idea brought into that, that your job wasn't just meaningless, that there was real purpose behind what it was that you were doing. 'Cause a lot of people couldn't just, like, get up and leave their jobs back then. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're a peasant, you know, you're pretty much like a slave. So you can't just be like, I'm not a farmer anymore, guys. I'm leaving the fields. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go into another kingdom. You know, so that.
And there could be some good there. It gave them purpose.
Yeah. The whole idea, the work ethic idea, this all comes from Christianity through the Protestant movement and like the Puritans and all this stuff. It just grows out from the Reformation. But this idea that all aspects of life are now going to become impacted by Christianity really breaks out. And this is one of them, the vocation idea, that everybody has a calling. Because before that, they're just like, there's the priest class and then there's us.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't expect anything out of the peasant people and stuff like that. And it's just the priest class who should have the Bible, who should read it and all this stuff. Because, you know, they're not that, right? They're just the lay people. Like, that whole idea. And so the Reformation really breaks that up. And vocation is one of those things that's birthed, you know, out of that.
And an interesting way to go back to it is to look at the beginning. I mean, Adam was tasked with ruling over the earth and subduing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was even able to name all the creatures, which is just so neat.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, even after the fall, you see Abel took care of the flock and Cain worked the soil. Like, they already started focusing on specific things. And in this, you see them both bring offerings to God of the fruit of their labor.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, then it just kind of explodes from there. As society gets more complex, you see more complex jobs. I mean,
mm-hmm.
kings, judges, governors, prophets, priests, Levites, scribes, soldiers, all kinds of smiths,
mm-hmm.
hewers, miners, potters, tent makers, hosts, masters, slaves, teachers, and all sorts of musical related ones in the Psalms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so work is definitely something that stretches from way back, Genesis, to all the way forward, you know. And, yeah, once again, it is interesting that we don't have a lot of conversation about this. Mm-hmm. If it's something that is just so common to human existence.
And it takes up a good portion of your life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That there wouldn't be more talk on this. So, as Dakota is mentioning, you know, throughout the Bible, there's mention of all kinds of other jobs besides, you know, being a priest, right? It's the only, like, holy thing to do. There's all kinds of other jobs out there. But, you know, how is this... what do we take from these passages in the Old Testament about them being, you know, I guess music players and stuff like that? I guess then the question is, you know, what kind of music should we play? You know, like, is there a certain holy way I'm supposed to be doing the music? Or, you know, I guess those type of questions, right, pop up.
Well, even with the crazy increase in complexity and specificity of jobs these days, like, so you assemble speakers or you design speakers. Yeah. Is that part of providing an avenue to make music to praise the Lord? Like, it gets more and more muddled as we get more and more complex and focused on very small niche things.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
And so it makes it harder to see what the value brings in, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's to, what the value is in that. Kind of going into a little bit of the New Testament here. Unless there was another Old Testament passage you wanted to hit up, Dakota. If not, that's okay.
I always thought it was intriguing, the Exodus verse you put in there, the Exodus 31, that God, like, gave, like, he actually taught them how to make the ark, these individuals.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I thought that was neat. And I know that was, when I was early in my Christianity, that was kind of referenced to, like, you know, God does the same thing today with, like, with talents, you know? Like, you're good at film and video, Mike, so you should be doing that for the church. Yeah, that was a stretch, you know, but but it's still neat to see that example there where God gave them those, like, abilities and the knowledge of how to create this, you know, this thing that's never been created before.
Or even when, you know, assembling and creating the tabernacle and whatnot. I mean, the carvers and the sewers and all of the people who did the complex work there, God enabled them all, gave them all the blessing of the ability to do that beautiful work.
That's pretty cool.
They were filled with the spirit of wisdom from God. I guess in looking at our own job choices, do people have that view of vocation or calling? Is that how people view their jobs today? That they're like, you know, this is what I was called to do. What do you guys think? That for jabs.
No, people are, in my mind, people want to make enough money to be able to go home and have a good life out of work. That's the perception I get from most people. Is they want to keep making more money to have that better life.
Yeah.
The American dream.
Yeah. The best life now.
Best life now. That's right.
That reference came up in the last one you heard, Dakota.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if a pastor was like, you know, I wasn't called to do this, but I just felt like it was a good career choice. I mean, how would people feel about that guy's being the pastor? Pastors have to say that they were called to do this, right? So, like, why doesn't that transfer to every Christian? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
I feel like a lot of Christians who are in their jobs weren't particularly called to it.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Like, yeah, that's the truth. Yeah.
You know, they're already on their path in life and they find Christianity.
Yeah.
And they don't read the parable about the wineskins.
Yeah, that's right.
And they we'll get this in a couple more times. You know, you don't actually contemplate about rebuilding your life upon Christ.
Yeah.
No.
You just kind of try to tack Christ onto what you're doing. Even in your job, you're like, oh, well, now I mentioned Jesus, or I'll tell somebody I'm going to pray for him.
Yeah.
That'll be nice, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, no. You know, that's...
Yeah, 100%. And
that doesn't mean you should all dump your jobs if you haven't contemplated this, but, like, you know, there's a difficult thing of, like, always giving it all over to the Lord, right? And remembering to do that and saying, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do today?
Yeah.
And if he tells you to quit your job and go somewhere, well, then I hope you're hearing him right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you obey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, the biggest problem is just not the seriousness of it, right? Mm-hmm. One third of your life. Yeah. For a thing that's one third of your life, it should be taken a little more serious as a Christian to what you're going to be doing. And I think a big disservice is when we're talking to, like, youth and kids...
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying, yeah, you need to go to this college, get this job, or what do you like to do, kid? You know, and there you go. That's what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, where did God come into this conversation? Because he seems like he wasn't invited.
My wife and I have this conversation, like on a monthly basis about our kids. And it always goes back to, she thinks, well, let's save money for they can go to college. I always look at her and say, our kids aren't going to college. Our kids are going to go be missionaries. Like, let's send them off and let them be missionaries and let them find what God wants them to do for the rest of their lives instead of training them and doing what we did, where we went to college and then got jobs. And now we complain that we can't do ministry because we're stuck.
In the job.
In the job.
100%.
Yes. So it's like, why would we do that to our kids? And I think when you bring up, like, teenagers and children, absolutely. Like, if we're going to get this right in the future, maybe we need to start training up Christian teenagers and children of what it means to work for the Lord and what kind of jobs those should look like. Because we've already screwed up. We're already kind of stuck in jobs, and it's going to be hard for us to change that. Not to say we can't serve the Lord in our jobs. I think we could probably come up with some examples where you can.
Yeah, and we will. But I think this idea of calling needs to be talked about.
I mean,
and it's about building that mindset from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So even you said it, Mike, you said something about your job is holding you back from the ministry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we were to cultivate a mindset of they're so intertwined that they're one, that it is part of your life, then it would bring a transformation on the way you act, the way you respond. What path you go down.
And I think I've explored that, but never been able to really pull it off, you know, in my job. Unfortunately, I just don't, it's just like, I don't know how to do it. You know, like I would love for someone to give me the answer of how to really mix the two together, but I haven't been able to.
It's difficult without other examples.
And I think Dakota's in the same boat, is sometimes we do a job because that's what we're good at. I mean, this is the best thing I found I was at was with technology. People always were asking me for help, and I went, applied for a job, got it, and I've done really well in that job. So we just kind of do what we're good at. It's a good basis to finding a job. But ultimately, is it truly working for the Lord and the calling that God has called on us? Probably not. But also, I mean, another element is how scary the calling can be. Is when you see there's ministry that needs to be done, and it's such a big task, you don't know if you're equipped to do it. You don't feel like you are.
And so I churned through this about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I was in the middle of school. I had a good job. And I was like, you know what? Dump it all, right? Go do mission work. For 2 years, I dedicated, and it was cool. But then I came home, and I was like, okay, now I'll have this mindset of, you know, focusing on honoring God here because I see that there's a huge value. And then you get complacent and kind of slip away. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's two years later, and you're like, what am I doing with my job while your stuff is heating up in the microwave?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a continual thing too, right? It's a continual mindset to have about serving the Lord and what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also provision for family. I mean, you can't, some jobs just don't provide that much finances, mm-hmm. right, Nathan?
That's right.
Nathan has took the calling on, and now he's broke. So, and he has a family. Luckily, his wife, his sugar mama, is making money working at a church.
Yep.
So I think he's doing all right. But he had to sacrifice having a lot of wealth, having any wealth.
Yeah.
To do the calling. So that's something you have to factor, especially mm-hmm. when you have a family. You have, I have three kids. Mm-hmm. For me to just say, I'm going to quit my job and just do ministry. Yeah, that's going to be tough when we own a house and have children mm-hmm. and try to provide for local ministries. And
I think that's part of the reason why people view pastors and people who have dedicated their life to ministry as more serious, because they see how much you have to give up or how difficult mm-hmm. it is or how different your lifestyle is. Mm-hmm. And we fail to, as lay people, integrate that,
mm-hmm.
that mindset of, am I doing everything for Christ, into our lives, right? If you're living off of somebody's donations and they're giving you money as a Christian,
absolutely, yep.
then you're like, do I really need this?
Mm.
Or are they going to see me carrying this nice cup around and be like, yo, I know those are like $20. What are you doing?
He's right. talking about me.
Yeah.
It's a pretty nice cup, but it's not what I thought. It's just...
I got this from the church, okay? It was a gift.
That's a nice sweater too, Nathan.
It was a Christmas gift. okay. Yeah. No, those are your great points, guys.
Mm.
And I hope no one thinks that we're saying that we haven't all this absolutely figured out. Because we talk about this all the time, discussing all like the nuances and problems and the stuff not figured out about it. But we think it should be wrestled with. And so that's why we're kind of jumping into this topic. So kind of speeding up to the New Testament, there's a passage where Paul does some tent making. With some other Christians. Now, how much you can glean from this passage, as Mike pointed out in the notes, is not too much. But, Priscilla and Aquila, you know, they also can do this trade, and they kind of meet up there with Paul and kind of do it. And then it seems like then when the Sabbath comes, Paul goes to speaking, which seems to be obvious, because that would be like when the ministry time happens, right? Mm-hmm. That's when everybody gathers at the synagogue on Saturday.
It's because people aren't working, right?
Yeah.
The other people aren't tending their fields on Saturday. Yep. They're resting. Yep.
And so this is the time to go preach, you know, and you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the week there, he was doing this. Now, at other times, it seems like he's living off donations or money allotted to him from other churches. And that's more of the passages than, obviously, this is kind of it for the tent-making thing in Acts 18. But a lot of the other times is talking about his donations that he gets and stuff. So I'm guessing maybe it was a mixture, or he was sort of like opportunistic. If the tent-making thing happened, you know, he kind of hit that up.
Yeah, but we don't even know if he made any money. I show up to churches... True. Naturally, people find me and ask me to come fix their slideshows in the tech booth.
That's true.
Every time I'm called into a tech booth, because they know Mike knows how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, they know Paul used to be a tent maker. They might be like, hey, Paul, you want to come help make some tents? I mean, who knows? Obviously, that's not his goal, because Acts 18:4 says that he was reasoning in the synagogues.
Yeah.
You know, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So that was his goal. It wasn't tent making.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something he did.
Yeah,
I mean,
something he did.
Maybe made money. And I know they talk about Luke being a physician, right, in the Bible. Some people argue that he was a doctor or something on top of being a writer.
But again, there's not, like, what do you glean from that? You know, like, what do you get from that? There's not, you know.
The disciples did jobs.
Yeah.
I guess like, that's like the biggest thing, right?
They were
like
fishermen,
doing
right?
Doing a job isn't wrong.
They did that before.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, you can do work.
That's right. Doing a job isn't a sin.
Isn't unchristian. Yeah. The disciples did it.
That's real.
Yeah. They even resorted right to it right after Jesus' death.
Yeah, they did.
Right back to
it. Went back to it. But then it was kind of a negative thing. A little bit.
Right, yeah. Well, Jesus is dead.
What
Let's
are
go
you
back
doing?
Fishing.
I told you to go to Jerusalem. No, but yeah, they're just, you know, those aren't examples you can get a lot out of, but you can only speculate from. So there is a part, though, where Paul ruins people's jobs. And so this is when he is preaching the gospel, right? He is telling these people, hey, you shouldn't be following all these false gods. And people start saying, yeah, Paul's right. And so they get all of their, like, magic books and all of their different objects of worship, and they start destroying them. And the people who make a living off selling these idols and different religious objects are obviously concerned about what is happening and the future of their business.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everybody just joins the Christians and doesn't worship all these gods anymore, the priests are out of business, the temple's out of business, you know, all these other jobs are out of business, and they're all affected economically by what Paul's doing. Paul is disrupting and ruining, you know, a lot of people's livelihoods. And so for good reason, they, you know, get a mob together to go after him.
I mean, you see Jesus do this too when he turns the tables and sends them out of the...
The temple.
Yep.
We talked about this early on in our podcast when we were talking about money.
Yeah.
And that sometimes we might do things that's going to disrupt what people making money.
Yep.
You know, if you start, if you just start helping people for free, that's normally a job. That takes away from people who are trying to make money doing it. Like, for example, if you start mowing people's lawns for them, that normally you'd pay for a lawn care. That's taken away from somebody who's doing that. So we could easily disrupt this. Yeah. Not on purpose, but it's because we love people and we're trying to bring the kingdom the best we can.
Yeah, and so there is, though, through this and other passages, an idea that some jobs are wrong. You know what I'm saying? Some jobs are a hindrance to the kingdom of God, right? And that is something to also contemplate. It's like, yeah, I could make a lot of money, and this is a successful job. And in Paul's time, the world didn't see these guys as bad, right? Nobody sees what they're doing as bad, except for Paul and this weird small minority of Christians, microscopically small group of people think it's wrong. Okay, but everybody just, you know, this is normal, if not good, to be doing. And they, you know, Paul ruins it. And so what jobs today, you know, this is something, again, to be contemplating as Christians. Don't just take jobs for granted as being like, oh, yeah, this is fine. Because is this job that I have a hindrance to the kingdom? Is there stuff, you know, going on that...
perpetuates addiction or, you know, supports evil in a...
Something to ponder, you know, as to, I guess, certain jobs Christians should be involved in, shouldn't be. I mean, I think one we talked about in the past was like, you know, say payday loans or something. Like, these different, like, interest groups and stuff that it's just like... It's terrible, right? You know, you're getting people who are down on their luck, and then you're charging them 400% interest. Like, in what world does that seem moral? You know, as a Christian, I mean, obviously in this world it seems moral, but as a Christian, like, does that make sense?
These mortgage lenders, man. I didn't know, we didn't talk about them before. But then I learned how much I pay in interest after if I went a whole 15 to 30 years. It's like, you paid twice as much as what you would owe on the house. It's like, how
is this? It's only 4%.
How is this real? How is this real?
Now, little history fun fact. You used to not be able to do that. Okay. Interest was illegal when Catholicism like dominated and stuff before the Reformation.
Nice.
After the Reformation, they're like, hey, 6%. You can do that.
So what, you just couldn't borrow money then?
Like, no, you could borrow. Who would lend
money if they wouldn't make money off their money?
If you weren't a Christian, you could lend money. If you were a Christian, which most people in Western Europe claimed to be, you couldn't do it because it was, you know, biblically illegal, right? Yeah. I mean, that was obvious, and it was for a long time. Okay, a long time. This was standard for a long, long time. And then Reformation hits, and they're like, we can do this, you know? But anyways, so a lot of these ideas we have as common, again, this is something that recurs in these podcasts, make sure we don't have, like, biases that we're coming to the table with and just saying, of course, this is right, right? Mm. Because I live in a world where this is normal, and so there's no reason to question why that would be a wrong thing to do. And understand that your time isn't how it's always been done. It's a good thing to check. So anyways, jobs, you know, what are we, I guess, contemplating? And is this a hindrance, you know, to the kingdom of God or not? And we've hit on these passages before, 1 Corinthians 10, where we're talking about, you know, do all things to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. You know, is this glorifying to God? Ephesians 5, where we were talking about making the most of your time, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So again, kind of bouncing back to that vocation idea, right? Your calling. Look carefully, you know, how you are walking. Being wise. Are we doing these things? These are the same verses that applied to entertainment, right? And so they apply to really all facets of life. As a Christian, are we contemplating these things? Are we thinking about, you know, what we're doing with a third of our time, a third of our life? If we thought entertainment was taking up a lot of time, you know, work is taking up substantially more. And, you know, are we having that same seriousness exhibited to work?
So do you think there's a failure in the church right now about the lack of even reminding each other of these verses, right? Because if we meditate on these things and we're reminding each other and we're questioning each other, not in a judgmental sense, but a sense of, hey, is that, like, what's the reason for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would perpetuate and help us to continually actually think about this. And I guess, I mean, honestly, we should be anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We should be mulling over what we're doing for the Lord and how our days are a blessing and the value he wants to bring through it. Like, you know, he knows the paths that he's created.
Yeah.
Are we walking in them? If so, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
If not, how do we get back on that?
Yeah, what are we going to do to change it? Right? What are we going to do to correct it?
Well, we definitely shouldn't let the culture's view on this dictate, you know, what our views are, and especially when the church allows that, like allows to like encourages this idea, like go to college and go find your career and, you know, encourages making money over like a vocation or a calling.
Yeah.
It's more of like, we're looking for that one person who wants to be a pastor. Well, there's plenty of jobs out there that could be a vocation that are still kingdom serving that are not. And
to disregard the other 99% of people is like, what?
Yeah.
You know, how undervalued is that, you know?
It does make them feel undervalued, doesn't it? I mean, they there's this then hierarchical view of, well, pastors are clearly holier.
Yeah.
And
it's really the only position in ministry you can get.
Yeah.
But, well, you could be a youth pastor. Children's pastor.
Anything with the last part.
Worship pastor.
With naked sweater on.
Yeah, that's right. Pastor.
Yeah, that's right. Just put pastor on it.
Yeah, and this kind of feeds also into the body teaching, right? That we are supposed to be the body, that we each have a purpose that is just as valuable as the other, right? The hand can't go without the eye and all this other stuff. So if there is this value to all the people of the community, then what they do with their lives, you know, matters. Each person matters on how they're spending all their time. And everybody's supposed to be being utilized for this mission, right? It's not just the one guy, the pastor up front. Everybody's supposed to be being utilized for this mission. And if we aren't utilizing all those people, there is a lot of the body that's just being wasted, you know, that's not being utilized for what it's supposed to be doing. It's like a body functioning with just an eyeball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if just anybody with the last title, pastor, you know, is the only person who's really on it and focused. I think, you know, we as Christians need to think about careers and jobs with a completely different, you know, lens than the world does. You know, we need to look at our job choices more carefully, trying to discern what is pleasing to God, best use of time, God glorifying, mission helping, and what we do with our time. Again, 1/3 of your life is such a monstrous chunk. It's like we can't ruin. You can't get this wrong.
Yeah,
like you got to be doing this right.
And the other one of the other thirds were sleeping. So that means we only have 1/3 that we actually get to live.
Well, is that 1/3 based on 40 hours a week and retiring? talking about working longer and not retiring.
Yeah, that's true.
So Nathan, if you would give people advice of what kind of jobs are out there that may be more of a vocation or a calling, what would those jobs be?
So the first one on the list is technology
workers. That's right, technology workers. That was what I was called to do, is be a technology worker.
Technology workers.
Technology geek. No, I threw that one in there. That one's really not legit.
Well,
it's not legit, Nate.
Hey, I mean,
we got two technology workers.
A lot of people have spent a lot of time to develop everything that we're sitting in front of, so that other people can hear.
Absolutely, that's right.
That's right.
And so, are you going to? Yeah, there is a lot of
technology
good?
In this podcast right now,
and you're listening on technology.
That's right.
Nobody's
absolutely Dakota. You're right.
Yeah, the software
technology workers are very necessary for the kingdom.
Yeah,
boom.
The Bible software that they have today.
It's true.
The availability of like so many resources is just mind blowing. What you could do.
Yeah.
You know, it really is a game changer in equipping other Christians. Mm-hmm.
And broadening the reach, right?
Yep.
Because everywhere, but so many places have internet.
Yeah, that's true.
But once in a while, using technology is good. Kind of like Paul making a tent once in a while.
That's right.
I guess, but maybe as like
pop
a full,
up a tent once in a while.
Right, pop up, you know, use some technology and have a podcast. You know, it's a good thing. but maybe as a whole career, though, that has nothing to do with ministry, that's where we got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because I work in a secular public school, which is a good job. It really is. Mm-hmm. I love what I do, but it really doesn't fit the calling that I feel like maybe God would want me to do.
The calling.
And maybe one day I'll discover that, and it, like, the door will open, and I'll just walk right through it, and it'll be great.
You'll have the epiphany.
Maybe. Maybe.
All right. Some of the other jobs that I feel Christians should definitely saturate more of is doctors, nurses, mental illness, firemen, social.
Do you want us to be mentally ill?
Work with people who have mental illness. Firemen, social workers, homeless workers, low-income housing, emergency workers, disaster relief workers, child care workers, education, financial aid workers, peacemakers in war zones, housing for refugees or foreigners, drug rehab workers, counseling, nursing homes, prison workers. And so those are, you know, plenty of jobs that definitely, I would say, go along with what it is to be Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also think there are other jobs that have not yet been invented by Christians. And this is something interesting in Christian history, is the amount of things that Christians invented that we have today that are hugely beneficial to our life, like healthcare. Okay? Think of how large healthcare is. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you, Jesus. Because if there was not Christianity, that wouldn't exist. Okay? We wouldn't have this system where you go to a doctor and he helps you out, and then you're going to go to a hospital, you know, to go get healed or whatever it is. Those are completely birthed, you know, from Christianity. But there are so many other things that have also been birthed out of Christianity. And they were birthed out of what Christ taught. Mm. And these people were wanting to wholeheartedly follow that teaching, and it led to the birth of tons of these other things. And so who knows how many other things could have been invented from Christianity, but those people were too busy wasting their time for the world's kingdom. And this is something to think about. How much of our time is wasted building somebody else's kingdom and not God's, right?
Mm-hmm. You can't serve two masters.
Yeah. Think of the contribution of the medical system, right? Yeah. Think of the contribution of you know, medical innovation, all that stuff. Think of how much that's impacted the world. What if that Christian just never did it? Mm. Because he was too busy doing some other job for some rich nobleman and decided not to do that.
Or,
right?
Mm-hmm. What if they tried to be a preacher instead? Because they were not following the vocation defined for them. Mm-hmm. But that was the example of what was good and holy at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is what people do, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, a disciplined Christian who wants to continue to grow does this.
Yep. Right. And so there are huge ramifications to the body not being mobilized, right? There are huge ramifications for that not happening. I mean, it can't be stressed how impactful and important this is that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so crazy and aggravating about it is that it's not talked about as much as it should, you know, with the serious and gravity that it should. But, yeah. Anybody else have anything to mention?
Well, as we wrap this up, I got a verse.
Oh, and
these verses are for you to remember what we talked about. So I'm looking for like the best verse to kind of fit this. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 kind of hits it, but you know, so write that down. Write that down and try to memorize this verse or put in your life. It says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is."
Nice.
Nice. All right. Dakota.
Yeah. So I know that this vocation versus job was just a primer, right? And there's
We're hoping to hit more of these up in the future.
There's a lot of difficulties and frustrating things about saying these things in such a broad context, and then you try to apply it to your life, and there's confusion, and hopefully we can hear some questions from you guys at our new email address.
Yes. Or
their new email address.
Yeah.
Nice plug.
And, it's just really important to sort this out and figure out how to break this cultural mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. There's hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there, but you chose to listen to ours.
If you have any questions, concerns, or ideas regarding our podcast, please email us at thirdoptionpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
That's thirdoptionpodcast@gmail.com. We're getting better, folks.
We are.
We're learning. Let's name
all
the
this
email.
Time, all this time. I that was the one thing I gave Nathan to do technology-wise. I'm like, Nathan, find us an email. And I'm thinking,
it's not my spiritual gift.
The first thing you would think you would try to do is get an email account that's named after the podcast.
Yeah.
And some reason.
You would think.
It didn't happen. But that's okay. We have it now. And we still have biblical logic, too. So if that goes back in your mind and you want to email that, that works, too. But no, email Third Option Podcast.
Third Option Podcast
at gmail.com. If you like our podcast, share it with a friend or give us a like wherever you're listening.
Keep fighting the good fight of faith. And thanks for listening to the Third Option Podcast. Thank you.